Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Now begin the swearing-in ceremony for appointed Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, District 4. The Honorable Judge Jennifer Fredrichovich, 1st Judicial Circuit, will administer the oath of office and loyalty oath to appointed Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, District 4. Judge Fredrichovich will be followed by the Honorable Pam Childers, Clerk of the Circuit Court and Comptroller, with the reading of Mrs. Hoffberger's commission to the public. Judge Fredrichovich, would you please join appointed Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, District 4, and Mr. Hoffberger, along with their children, parents at the podium, followed by Ms. Childers in a moment.
Man, was this a long time coming.
I state your name.
I, Ashley Hoffberger.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Protect and defend.
Protect and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified.
That I am duly qualified.
To hold office.
To hold office.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
The duties of County Commissioner.
The duties of County Commissioner.
District 4.
District 4.
On which I am now about to enter.
Of which I am now about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
One more.
Yeah, there's always two oaths. It's always a little bit weird that they have to do two different oaths for just one office, but that is the way it works. Judge Jennifer Fredrichovich swearing in Ashley Hoffberger yesterday. John, I've said many times I'll never run for office, and I won't. God would have to drag me kicking and screaming to run for office. But I would absolutely be the guy who's like, I state your name. I state your name.
I figured that would be you.
and not as a joke. Like, I would just get caught up in the moment and be like, I'm just supposed to say whatever he says or she says. You know, like, that would be my mistake.
I state your name.
I, Ashley Hoffberger.
A citizen of the state of Florida.
A citizen of the state of Florida.
And of the United States of America.
And of the United States of America.
And being an officer of Escambia County.
And being an officer of Escambia County.
And the recipient of public funds.
And the recipient of public funds.
As such officer.
As such officer.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's actually kind of, I mean, you know, you swear in basically for the state and then for the feds. Plus, you swear that because you're getting money, you're going to handle the money, right? So, you know, it makes sense. It just always has struck me as an odd thing that we do two oaths. And then, of course, almost like a military orders, the clerk of the court or comptroller, which is, of course, the same person, Pam Childers, actually reads you the commission from the governor, which is, I don't know, just, and again, it's just kind of an odd little thing, but this is the ceremony, which this is all ceremonial. She's already the commissioner. She actually swore in like 2 weeks ago, the Monday after the Friday announcement. So this is all for show, but it's still a good show.
I, Pam Childers, the elected clerk and comptroller, present your commission. On behalf of the Executive Department of the State of Florida, on behalf of Ron DeSantis, Governor of Florida, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of this state, do hereby commission Ashley Hoffberger, who was appointed on the fourth day, October 2024, to be a member of the Escambia County Board of County Commissioners, District 4. For a term beginning on October 4th, 2024, until the 18th day of November, 2024, according to the Constitution and the laws of the state, and in the name of the people of the state of Florida, to have, hold, and exercise the said office, and all the powers and responsibilities appertaining thereto, and to receive the privileges and emoluments thereof, in accordance with the law. Signed, Ron DeSantis, Governor of Florida. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, my favorite part of the whole day yesterday was this right here. she's a girl. You know, she's excited. She's enthusiastic. She kind of giggles and squeals and happy. It was great. I mean, seriously, like, I loved it. I thought this is something that you would never have a guy, but here you have a woman on the board, and she's excited. And I genuinely loved it. And, of course, getting sworn in by a female judge, getting sworn in by the female clerk of the court. You know, clerk of the court, you don't get a choice on, but, you know, just listen again.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, it's adorable, right? So, yeah, now we have, finally, after, you know, only 10 months, we actually have a full board of county commissioners. Who knew that you could even have it missing? Oh, my God, this has been... you know me. I'm a big fan of Governor DeSantis. I am. I think he's done a lot of things right. But this administration's just inability to fill seats has been, you know, because it doesn't happen that often, but we've had it twice. And both times, what was the last, 10 months also, I think, the last time to fill the seat for McCorvey. So it's bad. It's really, really bad to have people without a representative on their commission, on their city council, on anything like this. Stephen Berry, of course, the chairman of the county commission, District 5.
Next item of business to be considered by the board in this meeting is approval of the newly installed Commissioner Hoffberger's nominees to the Escambia County Disability Awareness Committee and Escambia Marine Advisory Committee. Additional appointments will be brought before the board at a future meeting. The board entertained a motion on Commissioner Hoffberger's appointments.
Make a motion.
Thank you.
Second.
All right. Please vote. Item passes 4-0.
So her first official act within a board meeting. She's probably had other things that she's done, but that's her first official vote, is to put forward her nominees for the Marine Advisory Committee and the Disability Board. And Mike Kohler, during the county commissioner comments section.
Well, Commissioner Hoffberger, welcome. That chair's been empty for a long time. I thought there was going to be a ghost in it for Halloween. But I'm glad you're here, and welcome aboard.
Who would have had... Only Lumen May, I think, would have been willing to put the chair with a Halloween ghost on it. Because the Republicans don't want to anger Governor DeSantis, I would think would be the case. But that would have been a funny joke to make. So they go through this meeting, and they get all the way to the end. And at the very end, a quick 45 minutes later...
Report, if there's nothing further... We're adjourned. Congratulations, Ashley. At 45 minutes, it's not bad. It will probably be the best meeting that you sit through. So it's all downhill from here. So,
in more ways than one, I bet. 517 on News Radio 92.3. They did do some actual work during the meeting. The one that caught me the most by surprise, just because I guess I have to learn not to be surprised. Because you just never know what's going to happen. It's kind of like when you run an election. You never know what's going to happen. When you run a county commission meeting or a city council meeting, in a way, you never know exactly what's going to happen. There was a very, very, very controversial item on the agenda yesterday. And by the way, I definitely puckered up a little bit when they're like, I've got an add-on item. Well, it was nothing. I'm like, what new massive decision that shouldn't be made before the new board is in power are you going to make this time, sir? Oh, nothing. It was no big deal. So I kind of relaxed a little bit. But then the one thing that was on the agenda that I thought was going to be very controversial was the attorney's report. Because the attorney's report had four things that you probably don't care much about. There was extending the Sunbelt Conference, agreement, great. The Pensacola Sports done a good job with that. Extending the Southeast Conference SEC Women's Soccer Championship, good. They've done a good job with that. Watched them talk about this to the Tourism Development Council. So, yeah, not a surprise there. There was a lawsuit settlement. There was also a shade meeting. I mean, of course, how many more shade meetings can we get in before the end of this particular board? It was the number one item on the attorney's report, which was to schedule a hearing to create the ordinance against camping. Now, this isn't the actual passing of the camping ordinance. This is just to schedule the hearing. That's put it on the agenda is all this means. So maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. But every time something like this comes up, you get some kind of conversation and they just, nothing at all. Like no public speakers, nobody.
There are five action items on the county attorney's report. I can answer any questions.
Board? No, sir.
I'll move all five of them.
Thank you.
Second.
All right, please vote. Items pass 5-0. Anything else, Madam Counsel?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, so what I expected to at least be some kind of a conversation was nothing. You know, nobody, no comments, no nothing. So they have put that on the agenda, so that will come up in a future meeting. And again, that's the what I've been calling the B-ban, okay? That's the creating an ordinance for Escambia County like the Pensacola City has done for its first reading to create an ordinance to match or allow enforcement of what the state is requiring us to do with the public camping ban, the ban on public property camping that the state put in. So, you know, again, I never know what to be surprised by anymore because some things you think aren't going to be controversial, 10 speakers. Some things you think, oh, that's definitely going to draw a crowd. Nothing. Consent, no big deal. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, your expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
During Cybersecurity Awareness Month, LifeLock wants to give you helpful tips to protect your identity. Using multi-factor authentication can be a line of defense to help protect your personal information. But LifeLock offers comprehensive protection against identity theft. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise, guaranteed or your money back. Protect your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name, Clay, as the promo code. Terms apply.
When it comes to enhancing your outdoor experience, you need a companion that can keep up. The Kubota RTV at Parrish is your ultimate utility vehicle for every adventure. Prepping your deer plot or hauling gear, the RTV delivers powerful performance and versatility. Starting at $15,499 cash with a $2,000 rebate. Financing available as low as $285 a month for 72 months. Get your Kubota RTV today and let Parrish Tractor show you why they're more than a tractor store.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Yo. Yo. Yo got a gift, my friend. Yo got a gift.
Well, it started out in a spare bedroom. Two turntables, and a microphone. I was flipping over 33s, working on rhymes and melodies, searching for some more of you and a little less of me. It's never been my dream.
Oh, man. I love that line, the two turntables and a microphone, because that's a callback to, you know, other stuff, right, that Kobe Mack has worked on. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Or was it a third day? Who had the two turntables and a microphone line? Now I can't remember. Anyway, some it might have been them as DC Talk. Might have been another Christian artist. I forget. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, Israeli forces have killed the leader of Hamas. Officials say Yahya Sinwar died during fighting Wednesday in Gaza. Sinwar was believed to have been the mastermind behind last year's October 7th attack in Israel. Liam Payne's former One Direction bandmates say they're completely devastated over his death. Harry Styles, Niall Horan, Louis Tomlinson, Zayn Malik released a joint statement on Thursday. They said that there will be more for them to say in time. For now, they're just taking time to grieve and process their loss. And Arizona prosecutors are dropping charges against a deaf and disabled black man that was beaten by Phoenix police for not responding to their orders Tyron McAlpin, who has cerebral palsy, was charged with two counts of aggravated assault on an officer and resisting arrest in August. Apparently, after this incident with officers, calls to drop the charges grew after body cam footage was released earlier this week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, I did what I always do. I said something. I'm like, I don't know if that's right. And it was in Beck. It was in the Beck song, Two Turntables and a Microphone. I'm like, that doesn't sound right now that I've said it out loud. 437-1620. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to make sure that you get great advice from somebody who really knows what they're talking about. How do you know? How do you know? Well, through experience. You know, if you do a thing enough times, you eventually get experience and you really know what you're talking about. And, you know, especially if you sell like, you know, one or two or three or maybe six, I mean, homes a year. I mean, actually six is a lot for many real estate agents. If you sell that many homes a year, you have a certain level of experience, you know, like a mechanic that works on, you know, three or four cars or six cars a year. They have a certain level of experience. If you sell 175 in a year, you know, or you work on 175 in a year, you'd have a different level of experience. And to me, you want to go with somebody who knows how to get it all the way through, you know, because a lot of times deals get derailed, unfortunately. And you want somebody who can get it all the way through, does whatever it takes in order to get to the closing, and somebody who can help you understand what's normal. Because a lot of, I mean, it's, you don't do this very often. It's a big deal. It can feel overwhelming buying or selling a home. And when somebody makes an offer, because you don't do this very often, you're like, ah, do I take that? Do I not take that? They told me I need to replace the roof. Is that a reasonable request in this environment with insurance rates? It might be. But I'll tell you who really knows is Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Sold 175 homes last year, 130 so far this year, on track to hit about that same number this year. And they know. And she'll get you all the way through. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 437-1620. Oh, this. Okay, so yesterday we talked briefly. Remember the story that David brought up? He said that in Texas, the legislature had subpoenaed a death row inmate who they wanted to hear from him about his case and, you know, why he is innocent and, you know, why they should try to do something. And, you know, it was such a weird incident that I remarked at the time, like, I've never heard of this before. You can't, can you even subpoena somebody under an execution order? Like, what authority do you really have? This has become a huge story, by the way. And I didn't understand it at the time, and I'm going to do my best to kind of explain it to you. Here's the sort of briefest version to understand. The guy who was actually convicted, it's a very terrible crime that he's accused of, okay? He's accused of having shaken babied his two-year-old daughter to death, is the allegation. He has always said that he was innocent. And the innocence claim is based on him claiming that she fell off the bed while they were, I guess, co-sleeping. And then he got her up, you know, they got up off the floor and he put her back to bed and they went to sleep and he woke up and she was dead. And at the time when they did the investigation, they charged him with shaken baby. And that itself is the kind of thing that has come under a lot of scrutiny. And, you know, basically it's, they don't really believe that that kind of a behavior. I mean, it's not that you can't hurt a child by shaking them. It's just that that diagnosis, that allegation of criminal behavior with certain symptoms is no longer eligible. They actually have these junk science laws that are supposed to prevent that from being used. But the change in the law came after he had been convicted already. And the prosecutors in the case apparently believed that he was guilty because he had a very low or indifferent emotional reaction to the fact that she had died. Well, apparently, turns out that he's autistic. And so not reacting in an emotionally proper way is characteristic of people who have autism. And the lead detective in the case, It's Wharton is his last name. He has now come forward and he's basically saying, we went out of our way to find a conviction here. This is an innocent man. He's wrong. The daughter, they think, had some extraordinarily strong case of pneumonia, and that really it was that, possibly connected with the fall as an unintentional act, that created the complications that led to her passing away. And so either he shook the baby to death, as the allegations are, and the state attorney general has not been willing to back off the case, or they were sleeping and she fell off the bed and she was extremely sick and she died. Which, if he's in jail and being executed for that, it's a horrible miscarriage of justice to execute an innocent parent. Again, the lead detective has said,
he's a special man, and I'm ashamed that I missed that 20 years ago. We were looking for an offender, we labeled him as such, and we made it stick. all based on junk science.
So he's been trying to get this man exonerated. The legislature believes he's innocent, at least most of them do, and that's why they went for the subpoena. Not because it would matter, but because it would delay the execution. That was the goal. And then they appealed to the, yesterday got stayed and unstayed. The execution was supposed to take place last night. They appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said that we don't have authority to stop this. The only ones who can stop it now would be basically the governor. And so it was actually temporarily paused last night. What that's going to mean for this case going forward, nobody's quite sure. But it really is one of those, what do you believe? What do you think actually happened? Because if he's guilty, it makes sense to execute him. If he's not guilty, it's a horrible miscarriage of justice for a parent who lost his child and then got wrongly punished for it. So that's why this has happened the way it's happened.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump was at the Al Smith Catholic Charity Dinner in New York, where presidential candidates traditionally roast each other and themselves. Vice President Harris was not there.
If Democrats really wanted to have someone not be with us this evening, they would have just sent Joe Biden.
Harris did record a video message for the dinner and held a campaign event instead.
America wants a president who will serve on behalf of all the American people.
She was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Texas Supreme Court, for now, stops the execution of a man who denies killing his 2-year-old daughter, Robert Roberson.
He was shocked, to say the least. He praised God and he thanked his supporters.
Texas Department of Criminal Justice spokesperson Amanda Fernandez there, the former detective who oversaw the case, agrees he got it wrong, that the girl died of complications from pneumonia, not shaken baby syndrome. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 50 degrees. It is clear skies here in Pensacola today. An arrest has been made for that shooting that happened on Chimes Way, which left one man dead, another injured earlier this week. 35-year-old Walter Baker is now charged with murder, attempted murder, and tampering with evidence, as well as possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. This shooting happened about 3 a.m. Sunday morning. One victim died at the scene on Chimes Way. Another remained in the hospital. Family members identified the victim as 26-year-old Jaquantus Johnson. The 9 Mile Winn-Dixie store is now officially closed. That store is being renovated. It will reopen sometime next year as an Aldi store. Aldi purchased Winn-Dixie's parent company, Southeastern Grocers, in March. After announcing a $9 billion national expansion plan, Aldi says they don't plan to convert every Winn-Dixie, but a significant amount will be converted. There's no word how many of the remaining Winn-Dixie stores here in our area will be changed over. Aldi said employees at that former Winn-Dixie store will have the first opportunity to apply to work at the new location when it reopens as an Aldi. Less than 3 weeks, the best of the SEC women's soccer returns to Pensacola. 12 nationally ranked soccer teams will be competing for the conference title November 3rd through November 10th at Ashton-Brosnahan Soccer Complex. Tickets for that are now on sale at pensacolasports.org. The Escambia County Board of Commissioners met yesterday, and County Administrator Wes Moreno thanked the county's emergency management team for their work. He said they've now had workers deployed to help with hurricane recovery for about a month. But then he shared something different.
I was contacted at the end of last week by an old friend of mine with the American Public Works Association that I met when I was managing the county's pavement management program some years ago. And he says, hey, I need some help. I said, well, what do you need help with? He says, well, we have 2 truckloads of food down here around Sarasota, Pasco County, but we don't have any way to cook it.
And Moreno said he enjoys cooking, but he wasn't able to travel to Pasco County to help out. But he did contact the butcher shop owner, Kevin Green, who was able to put the word out to competitive barbecue teams all across the country. And now there are several teams who've traveled to that area in Pasco County to help out, put out more than 1,000 meals per day for victims and for first responders. A home run for PPD. That's how spokesman Mike Wood describes their latest hiring. They've hired John Molchan as new cold case investigator.
So, you know, what's important for the people to know, especially the victims, the families of the victims, is that we will never, ever give up on any cold case, and it doesn't matter how old it gets. We're still going to look into that very often, and now we have a very professional individual that's going to be doing it even more.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood. He says Mulchan will solely focus on looking into cold cases. He worked for the state attorney's office for more than three decades and spent most of his time during that career focusing on murder cases here across our area. Now, nine Florida schools are on a list of those that received tainted meat. Bruce Pack recently recalled 11 million pounds of meat because of listeria. The meat was sent to over 200 schools across the country, including nine in the state of Florida. None of those here in our area, but those schools were in Lake, Hernando, Pinellas, Palm Beach, Polk, Brevard, Orange, and Monroe counties. You can see the list at fsis.usda.gov. And it is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. China reported better than expected retail sales and industrial production for September. The data comes after a flurry of recent announcements from authorities as Beijing seeks to boost consumption and support its flagging real estate sector. China also reported slightly better than expected gross domestic product data, coming in at 4.6%. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned in a speech the economic policies being proposed by former President Donald Trump would fuel inflation and harm businesses. Although Yellen did not mention Trump by name, she argued that the broad tariffs the former president and some Republicans in Congress support would damage the U.S. economy. PPG Industries has announced it will lay off 1,800 employees in the U.S. and Europe and close various facilities as part of a cost reduction program. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 161. That's your money now.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard. That's right. Bobby Likas Auto Service now has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. So keep your vehicles running smooth with their maintenance service program. And when your car or truck needs repairs, big or small, bring it to either location. Engine repairs, brake work, transmissions, air conditioning, power steering, and more. They can take care of it. Keep your vehicle on the road with the help of Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and also on Pensacola Boulevard. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Experience the captivating musical journey with Celtic Thunder in their brand new show, Odyssey. Join Damian McGinty, Emmett Cahill, Neil Byrne, and Ronan Scollard as they explore a fusion of traditional and contemporary Celtic music, a mix of great new songs and beloved fan favorites. In Odyssey, Celtic Thunder continues their musical evolution.
Get your tickets now for Celtic Thunder at the Sanger Theatre on October 23rd.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
morning, 5:39 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. It's mildly cold again today. You know, it's like 47, so, you know, pants and a sweatshirt, at least if you're me, or a hoodie, whatever you want to call it. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to our friend Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you. So you guys are hiring John Molchan, who used to work for the state attorney's office as a cold case investigator?
Yeah, right now it's on a voluntary basis, and we're hoping to get him on as quickly as possible as a part-time. But what a home run for us. You know, he's got a lot of experience and dealing with the different type of cases, and to have him looking into our cold cases, and that's all he's going to do is to delve into those. Is really a great thing, and we're glad to have him.
No, it's a great, and you know, I know John. He loves to use his talents, his legal mind, to investigate things. But he's not kind of like the only one, right? You have cold case people who are working on stuff all the time, right?
Yeah, we have investigators that look into the cold cases, but they also have other cases that they've got to investigate. They don't concentrate on them 100. Able to, but the investigators do go over these cold cases. In fact, they swap them every once in a while to get a new perspective, a new set of eyes on them. So, you know, what's important for the people to know, especially the victims, the families of the victims, is that we will never, ever give up on any cold case, and it doesn't matter how old it gets. We're still going to look into that very often, and now we have a very professional individual that's going to be doing it even more.
Is there, in the back of my head, I have a memory that there is a collaborative panel team, something that you and the Scambia County Sheriff's Office and PPD do this together in some way. Am I misremembering that?
No, you're not. And I don't know how often they meet, but that is a fact. And the reason for that is because the jurisdictional lines, you know, are so close, and the bad guys don't know the lines anyway. So a lot of these cases do overlap and have for many years. So that's something that even over into Santa Rosa County as well, we'll go wherever we need to go to get these cases solved and work collaboratively with all the agencies involved.
Right. And it's just, you know, fresh eyes, right? Different eyes. Sometimes see a thing that, you know.
Absolutely.
So sometimes you've seen it too many times to see it fresh, you know, in a fresh way.
Yeah.
So tell me about the alleged church burglar, Jeremy Lang. What happened here?
Why? I don't know. They're looking into that. Why would you break into a place of worship? You know, Mr. Lang needs to understand that they're open every Sunday, and you can walk right in, and they'll welcome you with open arms. There's no need to do it the way that he did it. But that's what he did, and he did it to several churches, and he wore the same thing every time, was caught on video. We were aware of what he was wearing and the area that he was concentrating on. And night before last, Lieutenant Amy Parsons was on patrol in the area and ran right up on him, and he was still in the same clothes, and got out with him, and they found a window breaking tool on him, some marijuana, and a gun that had been stolen out of a vehicle in Pensacola recently. So we're working to determine what exactly is missing from these churches and which ones we can charge him with at this point, and then other charges are going to be pending on the rest of them.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's infuriating when you know, if you're running a church and something like this happens. And so I'm good. I mean, you know, good police work. A weird story, though. So I'm glad you guys are out there solving these things. I wanted to ask you, I know in your position, it would not be appropriate for me to ask you what you think of Amendment 3, the marijuana legalization for personal consumption use. But I am curious to know, because your officers have to enforce these laws. And for example, when the medical marijuana law went into effect, it dramatically changed how the dogs needed to be trained because, you know, you couldn't just alert on marijuana in the car as probable cause to do a full search anymore, since people could lawfully possess medical marijuana. How would this law of up to 3 ounces worth of personal consumption quantities of medical marijuana, how would that change what your officers do? How would it impact you sort of as a practical matter?
Well, I mean,
some of these dogs now that are coming out are no longer trained in marijuana detection. Some still have that. But, you know, if we locate the drug and it's over the amount, then we enforce whatever laws happen to be on the books at that particular moment. So it's a transition that we've been going through the last few years with marijuana. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have to wait and see where this goes. Our job is to let the attorneys and the lawmakers decide what to do, and then we enforce what's left, and that's how we're going to handle it.
Yeah, it's a weird one, right? Because if the dog still does detect marijuana, which I know a lot of the dogs have not been trained anymore on marijuana for that exact reason, you know, the dog isn't going to tell you 4.5 ounces, boss. You know, so that would be illegal, but the just marijuana alone would not be. So that would be an interesting problem until you get in there and it can actually do the looking. So I'm also curious, if it does pass, how that's going to play out for you. There was a weird case out of South Florida, maybe not so weird, but, you know, this guy's out walking his Chihuahua and he concealed carries, and a pit bull attacks him and threatens the dog. He kicks the pit bull. The pit bull is not discouraged. He pulls his weapon and shoots a couple of warning shots. The pit bull is not discouraged, and he shoots the dog. And as a guy who rides bikes and encounters stray dogs all the time, and by no means do I ever want to have to, but, you know, I'm definitely going to kill a dog if it's attacking me or my wife. It's just, you know, it's your fault for letting him run loose in the street. What surprised me about this is that he got arrested. And they weren't, you know, for animal abuse. And they didn't let him use Stand Your Ground. They have now reversed that, and they're allowing him to use Stand Your Ground because it doesn't apply to people, or it only applies to people, not to pets. But if PPD encountered somebody who was being attacked by a dog and killed that dog, unfortunate though that may be, how do you handle that?
Well, first of all, problem number one with that situation was the pit bull was not contained. So it was running loose, which in itself is against the law. So we look at the totality of the circumstances, but any time a person is in fear for their life, whether it's from a pit bull or a snake or an alligator or another person or just whatever you can think of, they have to be able to justify to law enforcement why they drew a weapon and killed whatever it was. But if you fear for your life, and he fired warning shots, which we don't recommend at all.
Right.
But he also kicked the dog, and the dog did not retreat. So he did everything that he could possibly do, it sounds like to me, before he fired the shot that killed the dog. So we look at everything and determine if you felt like that your life was in danger or you're protecting your pet, then I doubt we would have made an arrest in that situation.
Yeah, that seems like the common sense answer to me. And in fact, I'm with you. He seemed to go through almost law enforcement, like escalation of force, you know, and again, warning shots are not a great idea. But, you know, he was very deliberate in not rushing to the end solution of shooting the dog. So I'm with you about that. Hey, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, the myth is that federal law enforcement officers have more authority than state and local officers. And, you know, it's not really that they have more authority. It's that that state and local officers have more to enforce. So the majority of laws in the United States are at the state and local level. A police officer can make an arrest for a litany of state charges ranging from traffic misdemeanor to felony assaults. And most federal law enforcement officers have jurisdiction over a limited set of federal violations. So in general, state and local officers can make arrests for laws in their limited jurisdictions. So federal agents can make arrests for fewer violations, but throughout the United States. And what's really important here is both federal agents and state and local officers can arrest each other for violations within their respective jurisdictions.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. So the arresting each other, that makes sense to me. I guess I wouldn't have thought about it, but it also makes sense that a federal officer, for example, cannot arrest you for a law that would be a Pensacola ordinance because they don't have authority to enforce that particular law, right?
That's correct.
Interesting.
And, you know, I think we've talked about this before, that on television you see this all the time, and it was in Die Hard, the first Die Hard, when the FBI showed up, how
right.
Everybody was upset with them and they just took over. That is not at all how it works. We're glad to see them. They don't just come in and take over a scene. It's not like that at all. So we work very well with our federal partners.
They're going to take your case, man. I know it's all this.
Yeah.
And okay, so I'm going to share this with you just because you and I have talked about this so many times. I want to put it out there. I was watching a TV show the other night, and they literally said, well, we can't put out an Amber Alert until 24 hours. I just wanted to throw a shoe at the TV. Like, it's so frustrating, this perpetual lie about don't report missing people, and the police can't even issue an Amber Alert for 20. God, most every Amber Alert that ever gets issued is issued within like 5 or 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, not true at all. And while we're on the subject, if you have a child missing, an adult missing, don't look around for an hour before you call us. Call us immediately, because if you find that person, we can always turn around and go back to the station. Please don't wait, because every second matters when someone is missing.
Amen. I genuinely believe that our continued repetition of that message is going to save somebody's life, because the lie is so prevalent in people's minds from having watched TV. So I will say that as many times as we can say it. Mike Woody is the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 5:49 here, actually 5:50 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. If you're thinking about a different career, acquiring a new skill, want to take a college class in literature, history, or the arts, or physics, or just, you know, you never did get a degree and you'd like to get one, hey, Pensacola State is there for you. They have so many different offerings, so many different services, from the non-traditional learner to the person who just isn't ready to go to university, or somebody who just wants to take a class for fun, or in our case, high school students doing dual enrollment. And this is as homeschool kids. They took classes, both of my olders, and now my youngest is there as well, taking classes that will help them towards their eventual degree and are a good transition for, again, homeschoolers to college classes, but also very student-oriented teaching, very customer service-oriented administration, and free. You know, the idea that you can go to university with a year and a half of college credit through dual enrollment, both of my olders did it. It's a great opportunity. Even books are free because they're in high school, right? Campuses in Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Plus, seriously, the best disc golf course in the area, at least in Milton. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at PensacolaState.edu.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections. The general election is underway, and now is the time to make sure you have a say in this election. Election day is November 5th, and there are three ways you can vote. One, you can request a vote by mail ballot and return it by mail or leave it in a secure ballot intake station at any early voting site. Two, you can vote early at any one of our 10 area early voting sites from October 21st through November 2nd. And three, you can vote at your polling place on election day. Whatever you decide, just get out your vote.
For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCo Summit returns October 16th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored by Data Revolution, this is your opportunity to get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and machine learning industry experts. Featuring a free career fair, Jurassic Park escape room, prizes, and a performance by the ultimate 80s party band, the Molly Ringwalds. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit ITENWired.com for tickets.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Here he comes. Judge, line drive, right field, hit well, and it is up and out! Judge has homered! The game is tied at 3! Incredible! Aaron Judge in the clutch!
Oh man, they had been down 3-1 and then 3-2, the Yankees last night playing against the Cleveland, don't call them the Indians. I'm never going to say Cleveland Guardians. I'm sorry. And it is the Washington, don't call them the Redskins. So anyway, Aaron Judge ties the game with a bomb. Actually, it was a line drive. It was a really wild shot, just like to right field, because he's a right-handed hitter, so typically left is power. But he hits this line drive to right field, like, oh, zoom, out. I mean, it was so fast off the bat. So tie game, bottom of the ninth. Cleveland's got a man on. John Kinsey Noel at the bat. Yeah, so they tied it. They brought it even, sent it to extra innings in the 10th inning. The Yankees got nothing in the bottom of the 10th inning. David Fry with a guy on.
Carries the winning run in game 3. Fry, deep drive, left field. Fry's watching. It is a walk-off home run. David Fry lights up the Cleveland night.
Pretty good win. Pretty good win. I don't really care about any of these games. I haven't been watching much of the postseason. All of a sudden, I'm a don't call them the Indians fan because we got Ben Lively playing for them. And I found like a tiny little hook for why I should care. You know, a kid from Gulf Breeze is pitching for them. He did not pitch last night. At least I don't think he did. I might have missed it because I didn't watch the whole game in live time. I was kind of fast forwarding. So anyway, they're still probably going to lose, but oh well. they're down 2-1. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Israeli forces have killed the leader of Hamas. Officials say Yahya Sinwar died during heavy fighting Wednesday in Gaza. Sinwar was believed to have been behind the October 7th attacks in Israel.
Good. Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Yeah, anyway. Sorry, go ahead.
No. Instagram rolling out some new features they say are aimed at protecting teens from sextortion scams. That's when scammers threaten that they'll share intimate photos of you unless they get some form of payment. Meta says that they're rolling out some new features that will prohibit the ability to screenshot or record temporary images or photos sent via direct messages.
Yeah, because nobody's going to figure out that if you use a second phone, you can do it still.
Well, just give them the idea. Come on now.
I'm not telling any criminal or 14-year-old what they don't already know. Hey, can I borrow your phone?
It's like anything. No matter what security measure you roll out, there is a way around it. And there always will be.
Now, the one that I do kind of like is it'll tell you if the person you're communicating with is from a foreign country. So you get some evidence that, you know, maybe that's not Donna from the neighborhood.
Exactly.
That's, you know, I don't know. That's Donna, not Donna, from Nigeria. You know, right? That's a useful thing to know.
Absolutely.
But anyway. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is, I mean, genuinely a good news note. Maybe you don't get a lot of good news notes about the war on drugs. But fentanyl deaths have declined. Fentanyl deaths in the U.S. Remember, they've been over 100,000 a year. That is an insane number, over 100,000 a year. This is the first time they've down about 12%. Okay, this is the first time since 2020 that overdose deaths total at Niagara, not all fentanyl, but overdose deaths in Niagara are below 100,000. Nobody's quite sure why, and I'll tell you, nobody's real eager to speculate that maybe it's because so many of the users of opioids have died from overdoses that there just aren't that many left to use them, get addicted, and die, but that may be the reason. Stream us.